CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Scotland, immediately. Scotland watching inflation, watching the temperatures for this winter without energy, watching especially the drama, the melodrama in Parliament. What the travail of Boris Johnson means to Scotland is when London moves to drop masks or to back off from the mandates of these last 2 years, what does Scotland do? Simon, a very good day to you. What is the opinion in Scotland of London dropping many of the mandates of the pandemic? Will Scotland soon follow? Good day.
Good day to you. Yes, Scotland will soon follow, but it will not be in tandem. It has never been in tandem with England, which is basically run by Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party. Here in Scotland, they were a lot more cautious, and we will be getting back to quote unquote normal, whatever that is. And that will include nightclubs being open. You'll be able to stand at the bar and order a drink rather than just having table service. There will be big events where you can go and watch football outside. There'll be lots of things like that. It will be getting back to a version of normal. This could be the end of Omicron. Now, I heard an expert this morning talking about this, whether this was the end of the pandemic. He said, I would hope, but it would be very uncautious to say that was what was happening.
Inflation. The report from Bloomberg is that the highest inflation spike in 30 years in Britain. We've been talking about inflation in Scotland. You've anticipated this. The price of energy is everything to this. And you've written carefully about fossil fuels. I believe they're also spiking. Is that correct, Simon?
Yes. Brent crude, which is the European benchmark, is now about $88 a barrel. So it tends to be a little higher than WTI, which is the U.S. benchmark. But it is high. I mean, to put this in perspective, back in March of 2020, it was $21. So it's gone up fourfold, and that will naturally filter through to gasoline, to diesel fuel, to heating oil, all the rest of it. And that will have a pinch on people. It is chilly here. It was very chilly last night. I'm, as you know, because you can see me, I'm wearing a very thick sweater, what we call a jumper, and it's still chilly. It's not good. And our gas bills are going to be going up too.
It's chilly across Northern Europe, including Germany, where I understand a certain weapons carrying flight had to detour around Germany because of Ukraine. What is the expectation of the conflict in Ukraine and energy prices? Will you be without energy? Do you have the stores for it? Are they talking about emergency energy replenishment in the event that the Russians turn their gas off?
They're not talking about it publicly, but I cannot believe that they're not talking about it because this is such an obvious thing. I mean, if people cannot heat their homes because they can't afford them and then they end up freezing to death, then the governments and the gas companies will be lambasted for the remainder of the year. So I think a lot of people are trying to work to make this happen. I would expect oil and natural gas prices to go up even more if Russia invades eastern Ukraine.
Right, right.
The message I'm getting is that it's probable that the Russians will take eastern Ukraine, but it's not probable that they will, you know, head straight into Kiev, which is the capital of Ukraine. So that's what I'm hearing. It's also likely that the Western powers, which is NATO, you know, UK, America, will basically not really do much if Russia takes eastern Ukraine.
A detail here, Simon. Goldman Sachs' expectations for the price of Brent crude, not West Texas, Brent crude, to touch $100 by summer. Is that consistent with your information? You've reported very carefully about higher oil prices in Europe.
Yes, I would definitely say that. I mean, we've already got some problems in the Middle East with attacks on pipelines, and that's disrupting the flow of oil, which means there's less supply. It's a very sensitive market, this. If you have, you know, one tanker load of oil gets delayed or attacked, then the price of oil will go up. We've also got a global economy that's getting back up to full speed and needs much more oil, so it will go up. And The hundred that Goldman mentioned, I don't think that includes an invasion of Ukraine.
No, it doesn't. Russia, no, that's just
Russia. Russia is a very large producer of oil, and if sanctions are placed on Russia, we will see even higher prices. And you think hundreds high? It was 150 back in 2008. You may remember that.
Yes, I do. So I know the $100 is just driving season recovery because we're coming out of the. Yeah. Mandates here as well. Now to a story that you published, just in case you wondered, what can I do with my money? There's going to be lots of turmoil. Private companies have been a source of great wealth these last decades. In the late 20th century, Microsoft introduced itself to the equity markets. It IPO'd very straightforwardly and is now one of the, if not the most bountiful companies in the solar system. However, these days, a Microsoft would be a private investment before it becomes a public investment. And Simon, you've done a story for Time magazine to reveal that the SEC is looking out for us. How so?
Well, it's looking out for us in really a way that does seem to be really quite odd. Right now, we have rules that were instituted in 1982 that mean if you want to invest in a private company, you have to be a so-called accredited investor. And that means you have to have income for the last 2 years of at least $200,000. That if they kept that up with inflation, it will be over $500,000 now. Or $1 million in liquid assets. And again, if they kept that up with inflation, that would be $2.7 million in liquid assets now. So that excludes the vast majority of Americans from participating in private companies. And to give you probably the best example of this was I did some calculations about Facebook, which is now called Meta. Facebook's first valuation was $5 million, and that was when they got a $500,000 injection of cash to get the thing going a bit. From then, in less than a decade, it went public at over $100 billion, and that's a more than 20,000-fold increase. So if you put $1 in, you would have more than 20,000 in less than a decade. That's a phenomenal return. And only the rich or only the well-heeled could participate in that. And what makes this whole thing really crazy is that now the SEC wants to make it harder for us to participate in that. And it also wants to make the private market more transparent by insisting on more data coming out. So that, again, will help the already rich with their investments while leaving the hoi polloi, the rest of us, with just the regular stock market where most of the gains have been given. Because as you rightly pointed out, companies don't tend to go public when they're small these days. They tend to go public when they are very large.
So the SEC is looking out for us to limit the ability of an ordinary investor to risk everything in order to be fabulously wealthy. Good for the SEC. Simon, the last detail about life in Scotland right now, inflation, it's cold, it's chilly. Is the mood better in Edinburgh because you're coming out of the pandemic? Can you characterize how the people feel looking towards springtime? We have about 30 seconds.
Yes, I think the mood is better. I also think people have gotten into a they don't care anymore mode because they've been so sort of, you know, traumatized by the whole thing. But yes, the mood is getting better, and that is a great thing. And I hope this will be the end of this pandemic. Hope, I don't predict, just I hope.
Simon Constable, reporting from Scotland for Forbes and Times and the Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.